When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino back here. We've got some special traders coverage here. We were blessed on Friday when one of our longtime great friends of the podcast reached out and said, choose me that I volunteer as tribute because there needs to be somebody to explain to all of you CBS reality TV fans about the greatness of these traders, housewives. And so here with us to do just that, the great Nick Iadanza. Nick, how are you?
Rob, it's very good to be back. I feel like it's been a long time.
Too long.
But if anyone can get me back into the podcasting with you, it's these monstrous women that yes. I love so dearly.
Well, the beauty of the traders is that it brings us together from all walks of life. So very excited to have you here for this crossover podcast. We are back with us, the lead anchor of all things traders here on RJP. It's Puya Zanvakili. Puya, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm so pumped. I feel like, you know, lead anchor, but I'm here to learn. I've got a notepad.
Correspondent. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here to study up on some of these lovely people that I'm meeting for the first time. Good TV, but I'm hearing there's goods and bads and I want to learn both.
And of course, we also had to have here, of course, from Big Deck Energy talking about Below Deck every week. It's Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
So excited. Listen, I feel like we should have had all our Housewives taglines, but we do have our peaches, which is our mics. Yeah. So it's fine. I guess I'll allow it.
Peaches are, that's basically like the
Real
Housewives of Atlanta. Got it.
Yes,
got it.
Yes. We have diamonds, peaches, you know, you name
oranges,
it.
Oranges. Yeah. Yes. Apples.
That's our logo. Okay. All right. So this I think is going to be a great exercise for both the people who already are very familiar with these traders, house guests, or these housewives who are from the Bravoverse. Really, it's the kind of stuff that maybe Dan and Parvati and Sandra like wish they might have had this podcast before they went into the traitor. So as now the Bravo Alliance has sort of emerged as like the chief rivals to the gamers, this is a great time to stop down and learn a little bit more about these women of Bravo. And Nick, since I started podcasting with him, has said, I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about Housewives and the TV show Passions. And I'm glad we get to do one of those two things today.
How do you remember that? That's hilarious. Yes. Guys, tomorrow we're dropping the Passions cast. So, yes.
We'll see when they, when what was the name of the monkey?
When the
monkey is on Traitor season three.
Yeah, when Bubbles? Timmy's on season three. Oh, that's funny. I'm very excited to be here talking about these women. Traitors has been amazing. But it's funny because I watch these, you know, shows that amalgamate different reality TV stars, and I don't know some of them. Like, I don't know any of the American Big Brother people. And then it makes me want to get out there and watch, and I want to know their greatest hits. And I feel like what I've been seeing on Twitter is everyone saying, like, hey, I've never come across Phaedra before. How do I watch her? Like, what seasons do I watch? Like, is it worth investing? So I'm here to be that. I'm here to be that person for you all. So hopefully I can shed some light.
Great. And we were trying to come up with, well, how do we do this? Sasha was asking, okay, well, like, what's the best way to tackle this? And Nick, I thought, had a great idea of, we're going to go through all of these women and talk about why do people love them and why do people maybe also love to hate them, okay? So we're going to try to address both of these things here today. Also, I had said on Thursday night we're going to do a Traitors Feedback Show. This is not the Traitors Feedback Show. Puya and I are going to get back together on Monday to answer Traitors Feedback questions. If you want to send those in, go to robhaswebsite.com/Traitors Feedback. We'll send that link out on Monday on social media as well. All right, so Nick, I think we have to start with the woman who has been the most visible out of all of these new housewives on Traitors, and that would be Phaedra.
Phaedra, where do you even begin with Phaedra? She is an icon of this franchise. And in some ways, she's been an icon for some really terrible, terrible reasons. So I think that no one typifies this. It's true. No one typifies this idea of being loved and hated, and loved for being hated and hated for being loved, than Phaedra. She is all over the map when it comes to Bravo and Peacock. She is someone who has appeared on a plethora of shows. She was on Real Housewives of Atlanta from season 2, I think it was, all the way up to season 9, and until she was promptly fired for one of the biggest scandals that enveloped the Bravo sphere. But since then, she's been on Real Housewives of Dubai. She's currently on Married to Medicine. She was on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. So if you're watching this show and you want to get a bit of Phaedra, you could throw a dart at the Peacock programming and you will probably land on something that Phaedra has got her grubby little mitts on.
Okay.
Basically, she is someone who is known for being hilariously funny, quippy. She has these amazing, like, I don't know whether they're like Southern Belle-isms that just, like, I remember one of the moments where I first knew I loved her was when she said, something in the buttermilk ain't clean. And I was just like, that, like, no one's saying this on reality TV.
Something in the buttermilk ain't clean.
Yeah, she's yelling about Kenya, who's Moore, who's the another housewife. People know Kenya. But anyway, yeah, so they
future
were fighting.
Traitors alumni, I'm sure.
Yes, about our about her husband, actually. Mm. So, or Phaedra's husband, Apollo, who is also a felon. but anyway.
Yeah, that's how we met her, right? So she bursts on the scene as this like Southern Belle who everyone like, you know, should, you know, she's supposed to be the epitome of like class and respectability, and she's a lawyer, yet she was married to a felon. And you can't drop a nugget like that in front of housewives and expect them not to, you know, pounce. And basically it just became this like couple of season long arc of her trying to defend herself. But what we learned along the ride, and Sasha, I'm sure you could attest to this, is that she started off just as a liar. She is a downright liar. And it started with the fact that she was pregnant in one of her early seasons. And there's an amazing scene, which I implore everyone to go watch on YouTube, where she is trying to lie about her due date because she got pregnant out of wedlock. And the other women are just like, And she's like, yeah, we're going to have the baby at 34 weeks. And they're like, wait, is that safe? They're like, yeah, she's the baby's, you know, it's fully developed. And they're like, but that they wouldn't take the baby out. And it's just the most terrible, terrible lying. It's where we get that great NeNe gif or reaction video that you might have seen where she says, shut up, that is so stupid. So she's just a liar from way back. And her lies have gotten better. Yeah. But
Nick,
she's definitely.
Can I ask, is the reason for the lie, was she trying to tell the felon that the baby was, like, why is she lying? Why was that important?
She's a Southern Belle, right? Yeah. She can't be like getting pregnant out of wedlock. Her mother is a pastor, and she was, she just was trying to uphold that kind of that veneer. And soon you realize with Phaedra that beneath the veneer, there are some very, very questionable motives around the things she does. And I think we're already seeing that the person who people really liked in episode 1, 2, and 3 as being this really congenial, really like funny, you know, lovely woman, just all of a sudden she can snap and she has ice in her veins.
Also, here's why I think Phaedra is a really good traitor, right? When it comes to the pregnancy, which I still believe is one of her most iconic lies, because girl, what the hell? She is speaking to, she's at a Mother's Day brunch. It is all moms that she is talking to. So it's NeNe, Candy, right? Like everyone we know is at this table. Candy's mom, Cynthia Bailey is here, right? Like we have seen all of these people, and she's saying, I'm ready to get this baby up out of here. The lungs are developed, guys. It's okay. Yeah. And she's lungs. Asking them actively for advice while lying to them. And NeNe says, the best advice I can give you. Oh, and Sheree's there too. And the best advice I can tell you is keep the baby in. And she's like, oh no, that's not an advice I can listen to. So it's just, that is why I think Phaedra is so good, because it's just like gaslight, girl boss, gatekeep is Phaedra.
And she's not actually giving birth at 34 weeks, right? She's gone full term, and she's telling them, like, oh, well, I think it's time.
Yeah, there's a later episode with Sheree and Dr. Love, if people remember. Anyway,
who is Dr. Love?
He's a fake doctor. One thing about Sheree is that she's going to fall for a man with a scam. Anyway, but the biggest thing is that, so anyway, they're playing spades, blah, blah, blah. NeNe's about to, you know, like be like, Dr. Love is shady. Something's up. Candy comes in and says, guys, I have news. Phaedra was full term. And then they just move on.
Because in the cavalcade of like dodgy things that she has done on the show, like it's just like, oh, just another thing. So one of the other storylines is that she has this husband at the beginning of the show called Apollo, and he was a felon, and they have two kids together. And very quickly that relationship starts to disintegrate, which is very a shame, because her two children are these amazingly really cute little boys. But he becomes charged with identity theft and fraud. And many people still to this day argue that Phaedra was in on the scam as well. But because she is a lawyer and a crooked lawyer, is that she masterminded the whole thing but got out of it and sent her husband to prison. Now, do I believe that? I don't know.
Sounds like a perfect traitor. This is exactly good practice. Right.
I've seen some terrible things on this show. And the great Ray Sarnie, who is a writer.
Yes.
She has said famously about The Housewives that the genre has shifted. The genre has shifted from, you know, a docuseries about women's lives to true crime. the show is essentially a true crime experience, where how you can, you know, put people together performing all types of crimes, white collar, blue, you know, all these types of crimes. And Phaedra has found herself right in the middle of some really questionable things. And there's one big thing coming up. But Sasha, I don't know if you wanted to kind of set that up for us.
Oh my god. So
this is why she was fired in the first place.
Correct.
So yeah.
These are all
she got fired from the Housewives.
Yes. Yes.
Can I just drill down and say that it's actually quite interesting about all four of these women is that they have all been fired from Housewives at some point. Now, many of them have been rehired or hired in different capacities, but we need to remember that these women know what the spotlight was like. They know how lucrative it was being on the show. They are fired unceremoniously, and then they get back into the fold. They are not going to give up that opportunity lightly. They know how to make good TV. They know how to get rehired. They know what to get Peacock ruffling its feathers so that they will say, hey, you're coming back for another season. So keep that in mind when you watch what they do. These are not, you know, your average complacent reality stars. They know where their buttermilk is, you know, buttered on the toast. They know. They know. They
yes.
Know.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes, this Phaedra thing is horrible, y'all. I'm just going to start with that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, also trigger warning, we're going to talk about assault. So if you need to fast forward a little bit, that's okay too. But just letting everyone know that. And, you know, get the help you need if this does trigger you. So our players are Phaedra Parks, of course, Candy Burris, sure. Yes. Portia Williams from Stars on Mars.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So listen,
who's who?
You will always be famous. All right. And yeah. So that's how it, and Candy's husband, Todd. But like Todd, you know, Todd used to be on production for Atlanta and then now has come in front of the camera.
A scandal of its own.
Correct. Yes. Correct. Don't talk to Mama Joyce about it, which is Candy's mom, who. I think
she'll throw a shoe at you.
Yeah, after how many years? Still believes this man is a gold digger. So anyway, that's a whole, listen, Atlanta. But yes, that is our biggest scandal. So Phaedra and Candy were BFFs. I mean, ride or die. Okay, there was the talls versus the smalls. Smalls being Candy and Phaedra, right? Talls being Nene, Cynthia, everyone else, whatever. The point is ride or die, all right? And next thing you know, Phaedra and Portia are friends, allegedly. And Phaedra is telling Portia, well, Portia, I overheard that Candy and Todd were going to drug you and take advantage of you sexually.
In a sex dungeon.
Yes. And thank you. It's because sidebar, Candy is known for sex dungeons. Like this is like, I think consensually, like she's shared it on the show. There was Portia and Bolo, aka the stripper drama. Like Candy supplies consensual sex things. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, so that was the storyline.
And what was so interesting about it is that there was this rumor going on that Portia had heard, you know, that you were going to drug me and it was this huge big deal. And it only came out at the reunion of that season when she finally admitted where she had heard it. And it turns out that she had heard it from another cast member, Phaedra. And when that bomb was dropped, all hell broke loose. And you could tell, and if you go back and watch that scene, you can tell that Phaedra is scrambling. She is scrambling to protect, and she knows when to not talk because I could be getting in legal trouble here because she is a lawyer. It is quite a gut-wrenching scene. And honestly, many fans have just never forgiven Phaedra. And rightly so. Yeah. Like it's a pretty
This was a fake story.
Thing.
This was not an actual plot. She's not a hero.
It was a fake story. Yeah. No, it was a fake story because Phaedra was friends with Candy. Their relationship dissolved.
She knew about the sex dungeon.
It's like, no, you're like invited.
Yeah, you're like,
the cameras have been, invited for shows there.
She basically wanted to kind of throw Candy under the bus behind the scenes. She did so to discredit her, not thinking that Portia would ever feel the heat enough to bring it up on air. And she did in a very explosive manner. And from then, she got the chop. Phaedra was off the show completely. fired. Phaedra, you know, does not talk about this incident. And this is another thing that I think is quite interesting. She refuses to speak about the incident. She has been on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, which is like where they kind of gather a bunch of women together, almost like an all-star holiday with a bunch of women from different franchises. And she just point blank refused to talk about it because she's trying to bury it, but she's also, there's some legalities around it, but mainly because she knows a huge chunk of the fandom have basically like wiped their hands of her. And Candy, who is one of the most popular housewives of all time, one of the longest running housewives, has said point blank, if you hire Phaedra, I am quitting the show. So she's kind of like the only one who's got enough star power to actually like leverage that with Bravo and Peacock. And it has worked. And therefore Phaedra, who is someone who has, the fans love her because she's funny and she's shady and she creates these iconic moments. She's been kind of relegated to the peripheries of the housewives world. She appears as a guest on another franchise. She's now on Married to Medicine, but she can never transition back to Atlanta because of this huge scandal, which is why The Traitors is the perfect place for her, because she is desperate.
In exile.
Exactly. She's desperate to maintain this kind of place on the network, and she knows how to make good television, but she can never cross back over because of this heinous thing that she's done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty hectic.
She also says that she never heard it from Candy, even though allegedly that's what she told Portia. And instead, she said, I only heard it from an unnamed source, which some people do believe might be production. I will say, you know me and a conspiracy theory, but allegedly, it might have been production. You know, it could have been anyone. It's Phaedra, right? Oh, she'd be lying. And that is her story, and she's sticking to it. She says, I heard it from somewhere, and I was a good friend, and I told Portia. I never said it came out, and it was the correct thing to, you know, basically, she's just saying, I heard it, and that is my story.
Did the conversation between Phaedra and Portia happen on camera, or Portia on camera revealed this conversation she had with Phaedra?
There was one kind of brief discussion that she has at like a lunch, but never the full extent of it. That was a blindside for all of us at the reunion.
Got it.
And I think when we kind of sum up Phaedra, if we kind of just kind of put a bow on her, she is this shade assassin. She is a lawyer. She's actually a pretty terrible lawyer, because there was one scene. She used to be Bobby Brown's attorney, right? And there was one scene where Sheree, fellow traitor alumni, asks Phaedra's for help for her in her divorce, in her divorce settlement. And they're going up against Bob Whitfield, who was a former NFL player, who represents himself.
Oh.
And Phaedra is representing Sheree. And big dopey Bob Whitfield beat Sheree in the court of law in this
many times. This time it's a court of law.
It's so funny. Well, so Phaedra has taken some knocks on this show, but she will never admit to it because she doesn't admit to fault ever.
Yes.
But she will read you for filth. There's a very famous line where she reads Kenya for filth about a sperm donor, which we don't need to go into, but basically, to put a bow on it, Phaedra is, I believe, truly a terrible person, but God, she's funny. And for that reason, we always forgive her.
I have a question.
Yes.
So she's also a mortician. When was she a mortician?
Yeah, she's had many jobs.
Yes.
Yeah, she in one of the earlier seasons, she decides that she wants to become a mortician. We see this journey for her. We see her running
on
funerals.
The show?
Yeah.
Guys, wow. We are introduced to her as a lawyer. And then she ends up like wanting to do, she's been a lawyer, funeral director, actress, fitness personality. Remember the donkey booty? Yep. And versus Kenya Stallion booty. And she's author, you name it. My girl has done it.
Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, like, what she does better than anyone, better than being a lawyer, because she's not that good, better than being a mortician, is that she can go toe-to-toe. Like, Phaedra will go toe-to-toe with anyone. Nene, Portia, Kenya, these are, like, heavy hitters of the reality TV industry. And if you've seen them on any other reality shows, you will know that these women do not back down. Phaedra will go toe-to-toe with them, and she will not be afraid, which is when she started in on Parvati, I was like, there's the Phaedra. Like, that's the Phaedra we know and love. And like, she will not back down. She will never back down.
Okay, so that episode ended this week with Phaedra telling Parvati, nobody likes you. We have established here in this background check, Phaedra is not above making something up. Do we think that she has this information that nobody likes Parvati, or is she making this up?
I think we can safely say that she's making that up, okay, or embellishing, because of all the women we have here in this roster, well, they're all pretty terrible, but like, of all the women we have here,
they're all perfect.
Perfectly imperfect. I would never believe anything that comes out of Phaedra's mouth.
Got
ever.
I'm in the why not both category, mm-hmm, because I am maximum chaos at all times. So I feel that she will gaslight you into thinking you said that about, mm-hmm, Parvati. That's the problem. So like, you might not have said it, but she is going to make Sheree say she hates Parvati. That's what I
believe. Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's start to transition to talk about another one of our housewives. And we have Tamra here. Tamra Judge.
Tamra's an interesting one because, you know, there's a running theme here, and it's about getting fired. So Tamra, to me, Tamra is one of the longest running housewives. She was on Real Housewives of Orange County from season 3 through to season 14. And then she was fired. She was fired in a really public way during the pandemic when a lot of housewives were being fired. There was this kind of like almost kind of cleaning shop. And she was probably one of the biggest scalps that Bravo went after. And this is why I say that this show is perfect for these housewives, because they know that they need to constantly perform. Otherwise, doesn't matter how long you've been on the show,
yeah,
doesn't matter how much
tenure.
Seniority you have, there's no, exactly. Like, if you are not constantly flipping the table metaphorically, then you are going to get the boot. And she got it. She got the boot in season 14. And then the show kind of went really, really bad for, I think it was 2 seasons. And then, you know, all of a sudden, everyone who was calling for her to be fired is like, bring back Tamra.
Was she fired for cause?
She was fired from, people were just really sick of her shit. Like, it's almost like you could kind of see, you could see the machinations. Like, it became a bit sweaty. And that's what people don't like about Tamra, is that she's like the ghost producer. Like, she is really the one trying to pull strings and make TV, and it got a little bit stale. And she's come back. She's been here she's one extra season has just filmed, has just aired, and she's about to start filming another one. So she's back. She's in that kind of centerpiece orange position. She is a legend of the show. But, you know, that firing is never far from her mind. In that time, she also did Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, caused maximum chaos, knew that's how she would get on the show, and it worked. So don't expect Tamra to go silently in this show either, because she is a battle axe from way back.
So she was on the same season of Ultimate Girls Trip as Phaedra, correct?
Yes, she was.
And Brandy.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so are there any juicy bits there for us to learn about their dynamic?
No, they got along really, really well. I think that the major chaos that Tamra causes is with her on and off best friend, Vicky Gunvalson. I don't know if anyone knows who Vicky is, the OG of the OC. She's the main character who started the show, who the show apparently was built on her back, she likes to tell people. She caused a lot of chaos with Vicky and against Dorinda, whose house they were staying at for Ultimate Girls Trip. But none so much about Phaedra, which is why I thought it was quite interesting casting, especially with the fact that Sheree, like, there are so many people that hate Phaedra. Why not cast one of them? You chose two people who know her, who like her. Like, throw Portia in the mix, throw Kenya in the mix, not Sheree. Sheree's like her best friend. Like, so I thought that was quite interesting. But no juicy tidbits there. Unless I'm missing something, Sasha.
No, I agree with you. That's what I think for Tamra. Like, she's really fun. She's the soundbite generator, right? Like,
yes,
all of that. But yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily as wild, yeah, I'll say, as Phaedra.
Does she have any memorable moments on The Housewives?
She certainly does. So she is someone who is always like the loudest voice. She's hilarious. She's got some funny funny quick quips. She called Alexis Bellino Jesus Jugs, which was a name that stuck for many, many years.
Jesus Jugs?
Jesus Jugs, yeah. Rob, hearing you say Jesus Jugs has really made my day.
It's like a crossover, right? For us that we weren't ready for.
Oh, this is the crossover, yeah. She basically has shown everything on the show. And I'm talking literally and metaphorically. She is always flashing her tits. She's always getting naked, much to the chagrin of her long-suffering husband, Eddie. Tamra loves to bear it all. And she also likes to bear it all about her personal life as well. She has basically gotten into a fight with her husband and asked for a divorce on camera in a very kind of like powerful scene in one of the season finales in the back of a limo. She has had fights with her children, issues with her children. She had a very strange sex bath scene, which people never let her forget. She basically has done it all on camera. Yeah, so we had Sex Dungeon and now we've got the Sex Bar. Like, she, there's this really cringe scene where her and her husband have this kind of moon, candlelit spa with petals and champagne. Yeah. And they're basically doing it on camera. It's very, very uncomfortable. And she basically is not afraid to go there. So do not ever think that Tamra will back down. Phaedra will go in on you, but she knows like the legalities of things. And she often can kind of like make sure she's very careful with what she says. She will cut you, but Tamra is not careful. Tamra will just she will just blurt it out. And I think one of the things that's really interesting and actually probably really terrible about Tamra is that early on in the show, she emerged as the young, hot woman who was like the kind of like the sexy alternative to the people that I had on the show for the first couple of seasons. She came in and she made waves. And I truly believe that Tamra is the one who was the architect for what The Real Housewives became. Because before she came on the show, it was very much just following women's lives. And then she came along and made it much more about this group dynamic and setting women up, exposing them, fighting them in public, throwing drinks in people's faces. And all the stuff that we know now as being kind of like what reality stars and housewives do, Tamra did it. Now, we always think about the big moments in Real Housewives history as being like Teresa flipping the table and, you know, Nene fighting with Kim in the early seasons of Atlanta. But if you look at the timeline, 2008, that's when Tamra comes along and really starts laying the groundwork for what you can do on this show in terms of pitting people against each other, using information, planting it with other people. It's like perfect for the traders. It's perfect for Survivor, really.
She's a game changer.
And one of the, she is a game changer. And one of the major things she did was there was this poor, poor, dim woman called Gretchen who this simple, seemingly lovely girl, young girl who was married to this really old guy who was in ill health. So she was branded as this kind of gold digger. And Tamra made it her mission in life to take this woman down to the point where she, in a very kind of questionable 2008 way, purposely got this woman drunk, was going to get her naked, wasted, and got her to make this huge fool of herself and basically attempted to destroy her life for our benefit as a TV show. So Tamra is not above getting messy. I think the Tamra of 2023 is much more aware of what the audience wants and about being PC. She's got a podcast. She's very
relatable.
Yes, from Celebrity Big Brother 3. The two T's in a pod.
Oh, two T's?
Yes.
Yeah, two T's in a pod. Yes. Yeah.
You're right. I don't listen to it, obviously.
No, very cringe. Very cringe. She has gotten her hands very, very dirty before. And, you know, if we talk about the things that are really problematic about it, she has this very problematic son, a bit of a kind of MAGA adjacent son. Her own daughter begged her not to put her on the show. This young girl, this child was like, I do not want to be on the show, this teenager. And the mom and Tamra kept talking about her on the show to the point where they had this full breakdown where they no longer spoke to each other. There's nothing Tamra will not do for good TV. There's nothing. And I guess finally, the key thing about her is that she knows how to throw people under the bus still, because she's come back to the show, desperate to get back on, as they all are, comes back to the show last season, And she comes back on with this girl, Jennifer, who is her friend. Another sweet, sweet, dim woman who I absolutely love. I love. When I talk about these women negatively, it only comes from just a place of pure love. She brings this woman who is so pure and simple and lovely, brings her on for the sole purpose of having a storyline of eviscerating her character once the cameras turn on. And it was actually the most horrific thing. It's just like that Simpsons gif of like, stop it. She's already dead. She just like beat up on this poor woman for like 22 episodes just because she needed a relevant storyline. And, you know, that's the kind of reality TV I want to be watching. So, you know, Tamra gets a big tick from me. I don't know about you, Sasha.
Yeah, no, same. I just think I'm not as well versed with Tamra and Larsa in the same way I think that I could write theses on Phaedra and Sheree. But I do. Yeah, I think what's best about Tamra is just that iconic. I think when you think of Housewife, you actually should be thinking about her because she, I think, like you said, a lot of this drama is built on her back and she just knows how to give you a good moment. Like, why is she coming for Kevin? It makes no sense. If you saw Bling Empire, you know this is the most harmless human being ever.
But that's what she does. That's what she does. She goes after the harmless people. Yeah.
The dim women.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's fascinating to me because obviously Tamra, when the show started, she's immediately absent from the first mission because she is feeling ill. And I feel like she's kind of been quiet. So I didn't know any of this. I don't know if she comes with a bag of fireworks. And then obviously in this last episode, we see her lighting Kevin up for absolutely no reason. And I'm like, okay, so if I'm hearing all this, I feel like Tamra's one to watch then moving forward.
Absolutely. She will not hesitate to throw something in someone's face. We've had drinks, napkins, like everything. She will just, she's not afraid. And the other thing is that she's very calculated and she knows how to get on these shows. She has this relationship with these other two women, Vicky and Shannon, the Trace Amigas. They basically know that if they get into this big public fight before casting happens for the next season, they will be a lock for the season after. And if you can kind of chart it, it's like this up and down, you know, chart that they know exactly what they need to do to get on these shows. So I appreciate the sweatiness at times, but it becomes quite physical with that.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Nick, we got to talk about Larsa. Now, RIP, the banished from the game, but Larsa was giving a lot in the Traders.
Larsa is a content machine. She is a content machine. So a little bit of history on Larsa. Larsa was on Real Housewives of Miami way back in 2011. And this was in the early days of Housewives. And Real Housewives of Miami was one of the first franchises to be axed. So she was on season one. She was fired after season one. And there was a season two. And then the entire show was axed. Fast forward to 2020. And with the advent of Peacock, they decide to reboot. They decide to reboot Real Housewives of Miami. And Larsa had undergone this huge transformation since then. In season one, she was Scottie Pippen's wife. That was it. She was known for being Scottie Pippen's wife. But she didn't do anything on the show. She didn't cause any chaos. She was very boring. In fact, people say that she was fired. I think the quote was that she was very level-headed. Now, fast forward to 2020.
Much like Scottie Pippen.
Oh, Lord.
Well, fast forward to 2020, we now have a completely different woman. And I'm not talking about just her personality. If you find a photo of Larsa Pippen in 2011, you will not know who it is. She looks in completely different. And there's no shame on that. I'm just letting you know that if you try to find a photo of her, she looks completely different. So she's changed physically, but she's changed every aspect of her personality. She has gone out to LA, hung out with Kim Kardashian, been her best friend, had a big brawl with her, broken up. She's now a kind of like super sexual, really loud, basically a menace. The word that I think of when I think of Larsa is she's a menace. She puts her foot on someone's throat and she just does not take it off. And while I love to hate some of the housewives, I mostly love them. I can categorically say that Larsa is one person that I genuinely hate on the show. And there's not that many housewives. I think that she is a terrible person, but she makes such good TV because she's a menace.
Yeah.
She's an absolute menace.
Now, Sasha, I've heard you talk about Larsa Pippen, and I'm not even sure if it was in the context of the housewives, but she has come up before on the Mess Magnets.
Yes. So long story short, because y'all talked about this week or last week, I can't remember, right, about the sex with Marcus Jordan.
Yep.
But she has talked about sex with Scottie Pippen and how Scottie Pippen has flown her to every away game. And if you went in NBA, you know there's a lot. Okay. And sex four times a night.
A lot of away games.
Correct. So they have not spent a night apart, allegedly. And it's because four times a night, baby. So the point is, Larsa, crazy. I think you're the drama at this point. And here's what I believe, Nick, and you can tell me otherwise. I believe the Kardashians gave her the complete different outlook on life. Cause she came on, even as a Kardashian, she was friend of Kim, right? And whatever. And then next thing you know, she's had a whole reality star transformation.
She interned at Kardashian.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's influenced. What I was.
They gave her the playbook.
Correct. And then they took it from her and they caused a lot of drama basically for whatever reason. And she then, I think, moved on and back to Miami. It's just everything we need to know about Larsa is that she was married to Scottie Pippen, who was obviously on an iconic team with Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Knew Michael Jordan's kids growing up. And guess what, everyone?
Allegedly babysat.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yes. And now is dating one of those men, one of those children that is now a grown man. Marcus Jordan, who obviously is also on the Traders. I just feel like that should encapsulate everything about Larsa being so damn messy.
Yep. Is the Marcus and Larsa storyline, is this something that we would see if I was to watch The Real Housewives of Miami on Peacock, this is a big part of that show?
Absolutely, because they are not afraid to get in front of the camera, and he is a big part of the show. He really is. And she, in the first season of the reboot, didn't have a partner, and then he's now in the most current season. And if anyone watched, like, this is if you know these housewives are going to be on the season of Traitors that you're about to film, this is a future warning to anyone. Rob, if you're ever on the Traitors, okay, you need to think, watch, or just come ask me and I will tell you, because I could have told you straight away, she would never, if she was a traitor, she would never have voted out or murdered Marcus. This woman held a welcome home party for Marcus, where she invited all her friends, caviar, this big party. He was out of town for 5 days.
I thought it was three, right?
Yeah. Three, five.
Sorry. The point is, like, it's so ridiculous. Sorry.
It was probably two. She has a codependency on this man, and he has a codependency on her. It's both ways. That she would never have murdered him. And I could have told you that for free. So that was a banish. That was a wasted banishment. And this is why you got to do homework, people. Why you got to do homework? Or just ask me.
See, my read on it was that I agree with you. I mean, I'd never met Larsa. The only thing I knew about Larsa was the whole thing with Scottie Pippen and Marcus Jordan, because I'd read an article where Michael Jordan was like, I don't endorse this relationship or whatever. No. Yeah. But having watched her play, it really felt like she took charge and kind of had quite a bit of control on the Faithfuls. And I think in this episode, it got to a head where I don't necessarily think a lot of them thought she was a traitor. I think this was fully a, we need to get a housewife out. She's the most vocal. Let's go for her. At least for the gamer's perspective is kind of how I saw it, because I'm with you. I feel like the fact that I talked about this with Rob, she's memorializing this man like he died with the breakfast in the next day. I was like, you just saw him. You're going to see him in like 3 days. Stop that. This adds so much context to that behavior now. So much more.
She cannot go anywhere without him. So a staple of Housewives is they go on girls trips, two trips a season, you know, usually a couple of days at the beginning, and then they go on a big international one. She said, well, can I bring Marcus? And it's just like, well, you know, you can't bring Marcus. Like, you've been watching this show and been on this show. Like, you cannot bring him on this holiday. And she just was like, no, but I want to bring him. I want to bring him on this holiday. So she is connected at the hip. Never, ever, ever would have happened. And I think your read on it is like 100% right, because she is always the loudest voice. Hmm. And this is the thing. I call her a menace, because she just will not be afraid to just, she's like a pit bull. She just will go and go and go. And if you know anything about a Real Housewives reunion, they film for like 14, 15 hours straight and then cut it up into four part episodes. Larsa will scream from minute one to the dying seconds. She has energy. Well, we know that because she's having sex 5 times a night, apparently. But she will go and go and go at these reunions. So when she started, like, was it Janelle that she was fighting with? Who was it? I don't know. So someone where she just, like, straight away was just, like Larsa, while she talks nonsense, she will just steamroll you and not listen. And it's almost like you said, better to get her off the table so that people can actually have some sort of a constructive conversation.
Right. And she got to do it with Janelle and Parvati on last episode.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Both of them.
I think that, like, she is a menace because nothing is off limits for her in terms of having a go at other people. In one of the most recent episodes, unfortunately, one of the other castmates has been diagnosed with cancer. Gertie has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And a very serious moment, she only told one person, and she told Larsa, and she said, don't tell anyone because this is my news. My kids don't know yet. And what did Larsa do? She went around and literally told every single person within a 5-minute period. She told people she didn't know, production. She told the other women. She is a absolute menace, and no, as you cannot trust her. So I think they've done a very good job to get rid of her.
Okay. Sasha, anything else to talk about with Larsa?
No, I think right on tap. I love it.
Okay. All right. Now, Nick, we have one more housewife here, and that is Sheree.
Sheree.
I apologize. Sheree.
No, I got you.
So Sheree to me is the most interesting casting decision, because when I think of Sheree, and what anyone really needs to know is that, yes, she's iconic and she's had like iconic moments, but she is the personification of delusion. Yeah. She is one of the most deluded housewives that we've ever seen. She has a very tenuous grip on reality, and her perception is so often wrong in every, and I guess maybe that's why they cast her, but she is someone who thinks she has runs this multi-million dollar a fashion empire. She by Sheree, if you've ever heard of She by Sheree, was this fashion line she was going to start way back at the beginning of the show. She never
14
did.
14 years.
Yeah, she kept promising it and never materialized. And then eventually it did last season. And all the things were basically just rip-offs from Sheen that she was then
And you know
the internet's going to expose within like 10 minutes of the show airing. Everyone had found all the originals, had found like you could buy like one thing for like, you know, $12, but she was charging like $200 for like, you know, some activewear. She is a deluded, deluded woman. She's had so many relationships where she thinks that she is, you know, this person's good for me and he is either a felon or someone who is outwardly hostile to her in on and off camera. She doesn't pay people. She's got problems with her finances. She contradicts herself. She doesn't really know how to argue. She's known for just stuttering. She can deliver some killer lines, but usually only in confessional when she's had time to kind of like sit on them. But she is still at the center of many iconic moments. So I think that Sheree succeeds as a housewife in spite of herself. So if you want to get in on Sheree, she was on season 1 and 4 of Real Housewives of Atlanta. She was fired. And then she was brought back for season 9 and 10. And then she was fired.
Yeah, fired for not bringing enough. Is that why? Not necessarily because of scandal?
Yeah, I think she just kind of
Sheree doesn't fell out have of favor. Scandals. Yeah, I agree.
She doesn't have the kind of like scandalous moments. Like she wouldn't expose someone's cancer. She wouldn't be kind of like, you know, lying on someone with a sex dungeon. She's not going to be doing what Tamra does to people. But she scandalizes herself by putting herself in these really terrible situations. She just got fired multiple times. She's the most fired housewife. She gets that kind of like distinction, but she's been at the center of some really key moments. And I think the main one was like in season 2, the wig shift heard around the world, where we had Kim Zolciak. I don't know if you know Kim Zolciak. She had used to wear a blonde wig. Mm-hmm. She was the only white cast member on Real Housewives of Atlanta. She was this chain smoking, you know, crazy woman. She used to wear wigs, and Sheree got into a fight with her where she pulled her wig. And then she was like, "You pulled my wig off." She's like, "I shifted the wig." So the wig shift heard around the world. Lindsay Lohan's dad was there for some reason for that moment.
Yeah. No, listen, if you know Kim, you know she's going to have a rich man around her. So you just have to be okay with that. I don't even know. I forgot what Kim used to call her. Ma'am. Sugar daddy, whatever. I forgot his name.
Oh, big papa. Big papa. That was for Kim.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, basically, Sheree to me is someone who it says really funny stuff, but she's not the menace that the other three are. Like the other three, I would be afraid for my well-being around the other three. I would love to go toe-to-toe with Sheree. I think it'd be funny, but you're not going to like leave like cut to the core. If that makes sense, you're going to be involved in a fun fight that you can probably get over. So interesting casting, because her and Sheree are really good friends. Like, it's so weird. Pick Kenya and Phaedra.
No, I'm so glad. I want Phaedra to succeed.
Sheree, even in the last episode at the banishment, votes for John for just like no reason.
Like, I don't have any information, so I'm just going to throw the vote.
Nobody will be mad about that.
But then she gets so indignant afterwards about like, guys, like, what are you doing? It's like, what are you doing, Sheree? Like, she is not the smartest bulb, but she makes good TV. And I like Sheree, but she's, she's not on the level of the others, I don't think.
Okay. So, Nick, I appreciate all of your insight here on all of these housewives. I have one more question for you, just to go back to Phaedra. We saw on the Traders this week, Dan and Parvati talking about how it is it is critical for us. We need to get rid of Phaedra. Do you feel like that is the correct strategic move based on what you know of Phaedra? Can Dan and Parvati get to the end if they do not get rid of Phaedra?
I think they have to get rid of Phaedra because knowing her like I know her in terms of how much I've watched her, she is so vindictive. She is so vindictive. And I think that like she wants to be on the show. She doesn't care about the money. So, like, I think that Phaedra will – and look, she loves money. But, like, I think that she cares more about making the spectacle rather than making the winning choice. And I think she wants to be around for as long as possible. But if she's pushed into a corner, I think she will blow the whole thing up. So I'm very worried about how they're going to actually excise her from the show without her dragging the whole turret down with her.
Yeah.
Because – you do not want to get on her bad side. Like I said, she has ice in her veins. She's a chilling person. I would be very afraid to see her in a dark alley because I just don't know what she would do.
Okay. I have one question as well, because I've been obviously on the trader streets. I'm reading all the comments, and a lot of people are divided on where we ended the episode, where some people are like, okay, yeah, so it's going to be Dan and Parv versus Phaedra. Some people really think that somehow Parv and Phaedra will end up working together to get rid of Dan. My question to you is, given what you know about Phaedra, both you and Sasha, is this a situation, because from where I'm standing, I think Phaedra took it a lot more personally than I expected, because I don't think they outwardly said Phaedra's name. But is there any way they're going to be able to work together moving forward? Or do you think this is a divide that Phaedra is not going to forget or let go?
I personally don't see it. I don't see it. Now, if it was Tamra, if it was like someone like Tamra, yes, I think she would know how to kind of like, because look, Housewives to me is about breaking up and coming back together. And the housewives who don't know how to come back together are the ones who get cut loose, right? And because it's about reconciliation, otherwise there is no show, because it's an ensemble cast. It's not a competition.
It's a show about healing.
It is. It's about coming together after, you know, saying something, throwing your wine in someone's face and then saying like, you're like my sister. Phaedra does not have that speed. That's one of her main faults. Once you're done, you're done. She hated Kenya from the first episode she saw her, and for seven seasons wouldn't talk to Kenya. This big thing with Candy happened and she doesn't bring it up and it's done. So I do not see Phaedra being able to kind of mend those fences in any meaningful way. But someone like Tamra, someone like Sheree, maybe even Larsa for the kind of to stay on the TV show, sure. But I don't see it.
Okay. Now, Nick, I know that the Housewives are your forte, but we have one other member of this Bravo alliance here, and that's MJ. Sasha, could we talk a little bit about MJ and talk about some of her background, since she's looking like she's going to be a bigger part of this season?
Yes. I also had one more thing just about Sheree, is that another funny thing that's happened to her is that she's had issues with her house being built, just like Sheba Sheree. Chateau Sheree has taken millions of years. And now people are very happy because Sheree is finally in a mansion and a chateau. So it's just, I feel like I'd be remiss to not bring up Chateau Sheree.
Chateau Sheree.
No. Yeah, big storyline for everyone to drag her ass for, unfortunately. So yes, now let's talk about MJ, the queen, our OG Shah. So MJ is from the show Shahs of Sunset, and she is one of the most iconic people, I feel like, from Bravo. And I don't know about you, Puya, but I feel like Shahs of Sunset just doesn't get enough spotlight for how messy they actually are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was my first Bravo show ever. I was like, there's a show about Persians. I'm Persian. I live in North America. Let me get into it. Then I watch four episodes. I'm like, oh, I am not this level. I am not at this level at all. Yep. The people are messy. I did fall off after maybe season four. Things got a little goofy. And also life got serious for me. But I was hooked, Sasha, for four long seasons. I was hooked.
And I mean, this cast is just like, they're still pretty much it's canceled now, but they had the OG cast basically until the end. Like, this is one of the shows where a lot of, like, some people rolled off, but we the core was still there. And I think that's why it was such a fun show to keep watching, because you're like, I'm invested. I've been invested from day one.
When did it end?
I think last year?
2021.
Oh, are you serious? Mm-hmm. Time is fake.
And I'm sorry, okay, as somebody who didn't watch The Shaws of Sunset, was it about one particular family, or was this like a multiple franchises? Yeah.
It's a group of Persian friends living in LA.
Got it.
Yeah.
The ultimate girls trip, but for Shaws in LA. And listen, it was really exciting because some of them were Jews, and you got to see like Persian Jews like living their best life in LA. So it's just all of it be exciting. And just like opulence, crazy rich Asians, right? Bling empire. That's what Shaws of Sunset was about. So MJ and Reza were pretty much the two big names to come out of Shaws of Sunset. We had Mike's cheating ass. We had, you know, Oz and Gold Nessa, right? Like, there's many other people, but MJ and Reza were like, they have been friends for years, like 30 years of friendship, right? Like, this isn't some like random thing to come. And then it all goes to hell. And that, I feel like, is MJ's biggest spotlight. We do have in season two where she does say that she's a felon convicted of bank fraud. Oops. You know, you do you, queen. So, like, we've had MJ fighting with many other people. Fine. But her biggest scandal is her fight with Reza, where their feud began when MJ accuses Reza's husband, Adam, of having an affair. And not just an affair, allegedly, you know, it gets floated out to the other cast members that Adam was playing Naked Jenga. And Naked Jenga is a big storyline.
Naked Jenga.
You need a breakdown of how that would work, Rob?
Yeah, yeah. Is it the same as regular Jenga, or am I maneuvering the pieces in a different way?
You know, we pray that it is maneuvering all consistently, because that is all I care to know about Naked Jenga.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just Reza, it's Adam.
Is it strip Jenga? Where yes. Am I? Okay.
Yeah. I believe it's like basically strip poker, but Jenga, you know, much faster. I get it. You know, Adam, man of quickness, we'll say that. Anyway, so Adam and Reza have had issues like on and off. This is like well documented on the show. So I think Reza's like, what the hell? Like, this is my friend, my BFF, that's like playing in my face and telling everyone about this. So, of course, to retaliate, Reza ends up blocking her on social media and releases text messages on Instagram, revealing sensitive information about MJ's like really harrowing birth experience. And this is it. MJ is married to a man named Tommy. Tommy is the guy from New York, like Brooklyn, like he got a thick, like this white dude from Brooklyn, like the accent, the like vibe is very much like stereotypical New Yorker. So he's like, oh my God, like, you know, you did this to my wife. Like, who do you think you are? Blah, blah, blah. And no one goes to see MJ in the hospital. None of the cast members do. And MJ is like on deathbed. Like, we've seen pictures, like it was a really bad birth. Okay. But baby Shams is here. It's all good. Turns out Tommy says, I don't like that. You did this. So he goes to Reza's house, and there's a video, you know, ring footage of this, and vandalizes the whole house. yeah. And he's like, I'm from New York, right? Like all this kind of stuff, and threatens to kill Reza.
Oh my God.
Yes. So Reza, of
course, these shows are dark. Like, I think you need to know, like, these shows get dark.
Yeah, they
like,
don't play. Real quick.
The like, Traitors is a walk in the park.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. So Reza, of course, has no choice. So he ends up going and doing a restraining order on Tommy. 30 years of friendship, and now the husband is a restraining order. So, of course, MJ is like, I have to be on my husband's side. Sorry, like, we can't figure this out, blah, 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 and all this stuff, right? Going on back and forth. And she ends up breaking down and is explaining to Reza, right? Like, I'm really sad. Why did you do this? But Reza is not having it. They're in a pool party. They're having fun, and all of a sudden MJ shows up. They're fighting, And trigger warning, like if you've lost a child. Yeah. So MJ unleashes. No, sorry. Reza unleashes on MJ and goes, your uterus exploded because you've had 10 abortions. You can't keep a baby. You can't keep a man. Get the hell out of here.
Oh, my God.
These shows, man. So bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
And that's why she said, I know you started the rumor, so I'm going to, you know, basically end it. And it's done. Basically, that's where their friendship is like, that was kind of
Did they ever recover?
Yes and no. Like, they say they're friends now, but nothing was the same because Reza couldn't meet Baby Shams because Tommy is not going to allow it, even though Reza drops the restraining order. But Tommy's like, it's not happening. Like, you're not. Like, no. Like, you're crazy if you think this is going to happen to everything you've said. So there's like a lot of issues with them, and they just know it's like Gretchen Wiener's, like her hair, head is full of secrets. Like, that's MJ and Reza. So they just constantly blah, blah, blah on each other. And it's all over social media. Even though you deleted it, you can't take it back. So sure, they're friends, right? With quotation marks, but it was been horrible together. And it's like two seasons of them going back and forth.
So she has the ability to pop off if need be.
Oh yeah. And she's the one, I think, that like does it with the most calm demeanor out of all of them, to where you're almost like, are you mad or not? Like, right, what's going on? Because I think she can sit back and just kind of be like, well, I know this about you, so it's over for you. And listen, Reza's done the same to her. So that's like MJ's, unfortunately, like how Shaw's went out was really horrible. But yeah, MJ intense. Would be Reza.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'll just end by saying that, like, when Parvati said that, like, housewives act, that was the wrong word.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're gonna take umbrage with that. Housewives compete. I don't see a difference really between the competition aspects of Survivor and, you know, Big Brother with housewives. Yes, this cast mostly stays the same, so it's not like a one and done thing. But they compete. It's a competition for fan supremacy. Mm-hmm. It's a competition to get back on the show the next season. It's a competition to have a storyline. It's the competition for who can be the loudest at the reunion. So don't discount Housewives as being able to compete. And I believe that, like, going forward, the Traitors is always going to have at least four Housewives. I think it's just an absolute, like, that's just the way it'll be. So especially with how popular this season's been and how big Phaedra has been. So I would be expecting to see that as a kind of like going forward, and don't discount them.
Yeah.
And calling them non-strategic, it's like nonsense. Like, get out of here. Yeah. Right. Like, they've been they're not new to this. They're true to this way before all these, like, no shade to any of the Gamers Alliance. They can turn it on for how many ever days, 100, and then turn it off. These people can never turn it off. That's why they're so good at what they do. Cause they be off, the cameras are not there. Great. I'm going to do it online. I'm going to do the blogs, right? Like, blogs are a whole nother character in a show.
Tamara's been doing this for 14 years. Parvati, as much as I love her, has played Survivor for 110 days, something like that. Like, it's a little different.
Yeah, and don't come for us. Mm-hmm. Stan. I mean, the truth.
I mean, that's the thing, is I feel like a lot of people are getting introduced to the Traitors through the US show and through this big cast. And I think you see a name like a Dan Gheesling or a Parvati, you're immediately like, all right, they're kings and queens in strategy. They're going to navigate this. But I think what a lot of people will realize if they watch more of the Traitors is that a lot of the game, a lot of your skill set, being in good conversations, being able to talk, command a room by just having good banter, that goes a long way. That's why we saw Dan struggle in the beginning and Phaedra's just living her best life, because I think she's more capable to talk to anybody in any room, whereas Dan is a little bit more reserved at the beginning and takes some time to percolate. Strategy is good to have, but social is way more important. And I feel like rubbing shoulders with a lot of big personalities for years on end on these shows really gives you the tools you need, I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
this was super fun. Nick, thank you for coming up with the idea to do this. This was such a great background. And Nick, I think that the listeners, I think, also truly appreciate this.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I've wanted to chat Housewives with someone for so long. So this is very good.
Nick, I know you're going to go to work. Anything else you want to
plug? First day of the school year.
Yes. Okay. Well, good luck there. Anything you want to plug?
No, just
follow Nick on X.
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram at Nick Idanza. Chat, send me your hot housewives takes. I'll be starting a new school year. I'm writing a book, Rob. I'm currently in the middle of that, so I've just got lots on my plate with three kids. And yes. But this was a nice little reprieve from the chaos of my life. And as you can see, I'm in my toy room.
Yes.
My kids' toy room at the moment. Like, and I can hear them at the door. They're busting to come in.
So. Yes. Okay. Well, Nick, thank you for getting up early and talking to us. I really appreciate that. Puya, you and I are going to get back together to talk some more traders. People can send in their traders feedback questions. Maybe if there's anything that comes up out of this conversation, go to robiswebsite.com/traders feedback. Real quick, what else is coming up for you?
Well, I'm going to be live on Twitch when I'm not podcasting. So twitch.tv/Puya. That's where you can find me. 90 Day Fiance has been going great. Actually, Sasha is going to be joining me this upcoming week to talk about the latest episodes. So that'll be fun. And I'll be getting back together with Annabelle to talk about a very fun week of Traders UK season 2 as well.
Okay. Check that out. And Sasha?
Yes, of course, if you want me talking more Bravo, Chappelle and I are still talking Below Deck Med. Thankfully, it is almost over, y'all. And check that out on the Bravo TV wrap-ups feed. Listen, it's been horrible.
Yeah.
But we're talking, and it's so much fun to talk with Chappelle. So check that out. Of course, we do video on Rob Has a Podcast YouTube channel, but also Bravo TV wrap-ups. And I talk celebrity news, gossip, vibes only with Kirsten McKenis on a podcast called Mess Magnets. This week, honestly, one of the funniest. We had Bryce Isaiah on to talk Oops All Anonymous, which is listener-submitted mess. So check that out. And Bryce Isaiah and I are talking Love & Hip Hop Atlanta again. So listen, you told me, talking about my favorite show with Bryce, I'm there. So check that out on the Purple Pants feed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is so great. And I really feel like that this Traders has finally brought together the CBS competition reality shows, and the Bravo multiverse is finally all clicking. Follow our Bravo podcast feed. Go to robiswebsite.com/Bravo feed. For that. Thank you so much for joining us. Got a lot of great stuff, including our episode recap of Traders Episode 5 live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night. Puya and I will be live with you then. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.